I always think it's appropriate to sing O Come, O Come, Emmanuel the day before Christmas, even the day before Christmas Eve. In the original Latin, if you take the first word after each of the O's from the verses that are on the side, the O antiphons, and then spell it backwards, this shows that how wise the guy was who wrote this, it spells the words Erocross, which means in Latin, I'll be back tomorrow. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this morning is from the prophet Samuel, the 7th chapter. My dear friends in Christ, David this morning, David had been warring for many years, right? He'd been running from Saul, he'd been fighting with the Philistines, he'd been battling with his wife Michal, who was torn between being a daughter of Saul and the wife of David. But now David had a moment to rest. He had a moment to breathe, to relax, to look around, to ponder. I know this is kind of what I do when I have a second to think. I like to just close my eyes and ponder. Sometimes I'll open them and see all the things that I have to do. But if I close them for a minute, my brain can get working. And maybe this is a byproduct of my vocation, but I usually end up thinking about theological things. And apparently it's not just me, it's David too. He had this moment, he was living in this beautiful house, a palace built and designed and decorated for a king. But when he looked out of his window, he saw the old tabernacle, the tent where God would come down and accept the sacrifices of the people. If the president of our country had no stately manner, but he lived out behind the Washington Monument in a L.L. Bean tent, there'd be kind of this public uproar, wouldn't there? I mean, this is why movies do this to us, whether it's Independence Day or whether it's a movie when the Russians invaded during the Cold War or the North Koreans today, or I think it's there's a movie with like the White House has fallen or something like that. The White House always blows up and it shocks us. Because that's the people's house, right? That's where the people entertain the foreign dignitaries. And this is big for us, that no matter the president, no matter who he is, the office of the president is there. And it would be embarrassing if you had to throw a state dinner in a 16-person tent, right? So there would be this public outcry. We'd want to build our president something great to live in. Or at least something enough to do what he needed to do. It doesn't matter who it is. Something that would be for us. And this is kind of what David was thinking. And to be fair, this tabernacle, the tent of meeting, had been with the Israelites for 400 years already. Now, I imagine certainly that God provided for the upkeep of this tabernacle. And I don't think it was looking as shabby as we might imagine in our heads. But you can kind of imagine this. You're thinking, okay, we've got this 400-year-old canvas that's been exposed to 40 years of water, of wandering in the desert, plus some, and then it's been living among us for all these hundreds of years. Something here is going wrong. What's the basic adage of today's cultural society? New is always better, right? And so the old needed to pass away. David was making some assumptions here. So he sees this old tabernacle. He realizes that he has the ability, the power, the desire to make something better for God. And he, out of the desire of his heart, wanted to do something good. In fact, remember, Nathan even said, go and do because God is going to be with you. Because Nathan thought that this is good too. Of course, God had a different idea. You got to remember, God instituted the tabernacle so that he would always be dwelling amongst his people, wherever they were, no matter what land or country or battle they were in, God would always be amongst his people. And God was always there. They could look at that and see, there's our God. So God's idea was this. It's not that he wasn't going to allow the house to be built. He really didn't need it. In all likelihood, he didn't want it, but he allowed it to happen. But he wasn't going to let it be built in the way that David expected. It's not that God can't dwell in a temple. He certainly can. He did. But this temple that David had in mind was measly. It was piddly compared to that which God had in mind. You see, God was going to do some things. One, He was not going to let the temple be built by David, the adulterer, the murderer, the warrior. He was going to make it so that David's son Solomon would build it. And he would make it not just a house of cedar, but gold everywhere, incense everywhere, art everywhere. And more than that, God's idea for the temple wasn't going to just be for him, but it would be to honor David forever. And although our God would deliver to David the news of the temple and the plans on how to build it, God still had something else in mind. A greater fulfillment than a mere building with four walls could hold. When our Lord God spoke to David about the temple, he wasn't just speaking of a building, but also of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus. You see, when our Lord promises that he's going to appoint a place for his people and will plant them there, he's speaking of the resurrection. He's not speaking of the land of Israel, per se. He's speaking of the land in which we will fight no more, nor grieve anymore, nor shed any tear. When he says he's making a name for David, he's talking about the Son of David, the Son of Man, the Son of Mary, who would bear that name David through the ages. And when he speaks of giving rest from the enemies of David, he is speaking less about the battles that David would fight, less about the evil king Saul that David recently mourned, but rest from the enemies of God, those who would destroy God's kingdom and all that he has. You see, God always wants to dwell amongst his people. That's why he built the tabernacle in the first place. So when our Lord consents to have a building and to dwell there, he has something greater in mind, because he wouldn't be just confined by a temple. He would dwell in the midst of his people by taking on flesh and becoming man. He would be Emmanuel, literally meaning God with us. The Son of God would leave his heavenly throne and live in the filth and the squalor of his people, that by his death he might save them from their sins. Our Lord Jesus made a name for David. He established the house and the kingdom of David so no one would overcome it. He would give an everlasting rule to the house of David. You see, normally when it happens, when a king dies, the king's reign dies too, right? Everyone is watching England over the last few years, certainly because Princess Diana and Charles's sons are very handsome and they're marrying very beautiful women. And so everybody is fascinated with this. But we all used to watch England. Why? Because the queen is old. And we're wondering who's going to take over. What's it going to be like? When she dies, her reign dies and a new reign begins. The only way to always have your reign, to have an everlasting rule, is to never die. Right? And so, resurrected from the dead, never to die again, our Lord Jesus Christ reigns. He is the King of all. And he will reign forever and ever. The throne of David, the King of Israel, will be established forever through the one who never will die. He will dwell with his people forever. Our Lord's vision is greater than ours. David desired to serve the Lord, but the Lord would serve his people instead. Just as he brought David out of the pasture and into the palace, so also will God bring his people out of the pasture and into the throne room of God. And there he will judge equitably between the people and he will dwell with them forever. There he's going to be the king forever, the God, no longer subject to changing leaders or dying kings or failing judges. There he's going to speak peace to all who are his own. Our Lord let the mystery of this temple build over hundreds of years. hundreds and thousands of years until finally, based off of the promise of Genesis 3, that God will send one who is the seed of woman and he will crush the devil's head and the devil will bruise his heel. Every Israelite woman wanted to be the mother of the Messiah, and God let that mystery grow and grow and grow and finally find its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. No one knew that this is what God would have in mind. That's the mystery. Yet our Lord's ways are greater than our own. The Son of God would be the Son of David to rule forever. And he would be the Son of David by becoming the Son of Mary, sharing her humanity, binding it to himself forever. And through Mary, through her bloodline, the Lord would complete the temple by building it himself in her womb. And the temple of his body, even though it would be laid to waste, even though it would be destroyed, murdered, 3 days later he would raise it from the grave and make it a template for us. We shall be raised. And though our imperfect temples of the Holy Spirit fail us now, our bodies will be made incorruptible like his. His vision for what is to come is far greater than ours. You see, we would build with cedar. He would build with gold. We would draw stick figure art. And he will make the angels live on the tapestries. We would stink it up with perfume, but he fills it with the prayers of the incense of the saints. And he makes his home, his temple with us, because he's the temple in the flesh. In him, the sacrifice for sins is completed. In him, there is no more death of the sheep. In him, there's no more sorrow or shame or sin, because he's taken it all to himself. He's crucified it. He's redeemed it. And he's given it back to us, refined by holy fire, and it is good. Our Lord's temple, his body, his blood, will stand forever. Beyond the vision of David, beyond the vision of Nathan, beyond the vision of Mary, and it will stand for you, that you might always be where he is. Because he, Jesus, the temple himself, will always be with you, forgiving you, strengthening you, welcoming you into everlasting life. Always. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.